This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time. Time for your weekly appointment with the only man who could host a 4-hour Saturday tour de force of sports talk on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why did we select this man to undertake this Herculean task? Because, well, his name is on the marquee. Here he is, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, and it is coming to you live, in fact, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Going to get to you guys on the phones as well coming up in just a second on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, which is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. But before I do that, I told you I'd make my NFL picks for the week, so I will do so right now. Anthony, what was I, 2-3 last week? Am I 500 on the season right now?
Yeah, so you were 2-3 last week. The first 2 weeks of the season, you had winning records. You were 3-2, and then the last 2 weeks, you were 2-3. So 10-10 overall.
This is a big week, then, you would say.
I would say so.
And I, you know what? I was like, I don't feel good about anything. So I'm going to pick an extra game because I don't feel good about anything. I'm just going to throw the variables into the air. All right, time to make some NFL picks.
He's crunched the numbers, used careful analysis, and is now ready to lay down the dough. Here's Robin Lundberg with his gridiron picks of the week.
I'll take the Cardinals -7 over the New York Jets. This is basically getting into the territory of I'll pick against the Jets every week. I don't know if I've done it enough so far this year. The Cardinals looked really good to start the season. Not quite as much in the last couple of weeks, dropping back-to-back games. But I think they respond. Kyler Murray responds. And they play the New York Jets, which is a good path for a response. So I will take the Cardinals -7 over the Jets. The Jets are just probably... Anthony, you're a Jets fan. Would you say the Jets are the worst team in the league?
I would say so.
And Joe Flacco's the quarterback this week, right, as well. Now, no diss on Joe Flacco, who's won a Super Bowl championship, but at this point in his career, probably not the guy you want out there. So give me the Cardinals -7 over the Jets. Next up, I'll take the Panthers +1.5 over the Falcons. You know, a little hesitant here because Atlanta blew some games earlier in the year. And in order to blow games, it means you have to have the lead. And, you know, I'm not a huge believer in this Carolina Panthers team, though they have gotten on track as of late. They've won 2 in a row, having beaten the Chargers and the Cardinals, you know, in the last 2 weeks. So they're playing much better. And I'm just wondering if we've reached free fall territory in Atlanta. You know, we already saw Bill O'Brien out with the Texans. Could Dan Quinn be next with the Falcons? And I'm sort of betting on the fact that maybe things have spiraled out of control because of the way the Falcons lost those games, because they were handled fairly easily by the Packers last week. And it's a free fall situation in Atlanta that's just going to get worse. So give me the Panthers +1.5 over the Falcons. I'll take the Chiefs minus 11.5 over the Raiders. The Chiefs did not play their best against the Patriots. The Chiefs have had a couple of games this year where they didn't really look Chiefs-esque, but they've still won the games. They are still undefeated on the season. And I think when they played the Ravens, they showed you what will happen when they really need to be summoned to the occasion. They dominated that game against the Ravens. But the Chiefs, you know, even not playing that well, they wound up beating New England. Now, this is without Cam Newton, of course, by 16 points. They wound up beating Baltimore by 14 points. They beat Houston in the opener by 14 points. The Chargers are the only team that was close with them. They had actually had to go to overtime in that game. So that's 3 out of 4 games. And I would only say Baltimore is the only game where I think the Chiefs played really well. That's 3 out of 4 games where they've beaten their opponent by more than 11.5 points. So I'm just using logic that they're the best team. And when they're not even at their best, they're beating teams by double digits. If they play even a little bit better, they might blow the doors off the Raiders. So give me the Chiefs minus 11.5 over the Raiders. I'm always hesitant to even say Las Vegas at the beginning of it because, you know, it's like, or they wait, the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas, is that official now? You know, you still want to say the San Diego Chargers too. It's just real tough to commit that to your brain full time. I'll take the Rams, not the St. Louis Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, minus 7.5 over the Washington football team. I know Washington made a change at quarterback, but I think the way that Washington plays goes beyond the quarterback. You know, this is not a quarterback problem for that team. I'm not saying Dwayne Haskins is the guy. I was never actually that big a believer in Dwayne Haskins, though I think he got a short hook. It's a little unfair. But I'm certainly not, you know, thinking Kyle Allen is going to fix all the problems. And the problems in Washington, which go beyond, you know, it's not this year's team. It's nothing to do with Ron Rivera or anything like that. But the problem is this is a bad team. They've been a bad team. They will continue to be a bad team because they don't have enough good players. They don't have enough of a support system on the roster. They don't have skill position players that scare you up and down the lineup. It's just they don't have a quarterback that you can trust. Just not a good team. So, therefore, I'll take the Rams minus 7.5 over Washington. Up next, the Texans minus 5.5 over the Jaguars. The Texans have been bad. Let's be real about it thus far this season. They've just been playing out bad. But they've also played a really, really tough schedule. So the fact that the schedule eases up, and, you know, oftentimes teams get that post-coach change bump, even if it doesn't mean the next coach is going to be better than the coach who was there prior, that there's just a certain level of energy. It's just like in any job when the shakeup happens, that, you know, people take notice. You go through the motions, and if you're, you know, in a place and then there's some sort of organizational change, it's like, whoa, you know, all right, we got to be on our game. And there might be some people who were inspired to play because they didn't like the previous coach. There may be some people who are just woken up saying, oh, man, something changed around here. And then the schedule changes for them. So I'm going to go with the Texans minus 5.5 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And finally, one more. Give me the 49ers minus 9 over over the Dolphins. 49ers minus 9 over the Dolphins. 49ers getting Jimmy Garoppolo back this week, maybe Mostert back this week. So the 49ers should be rounding back into the form and therefore should be able to handle the Miami Dolphins. So to recap, that's Cardinals minus 7 over the Jets, Panthers plus 1.5 over the Falcons, Chiefs minus 11.5 over the Raiders, Rams minus 7.5 over Washington, Texans minus 5.5 over the Jaguars, and 49ers minus 9 over the Dolphins. And those are my NFL picks for this week. Let's go next to Larry in Youngstown, Ohio. Larry, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, thanks a lot. I want to tell you, nice show. You got a good erudite take usually on things, and it's a nice change-up. So what I think happened with the Patriots, I'm not going to blame Brady at all. I'm going to blame the offensive line. You can't have all those penalties. And Brady was hit, 7 or 8 times? Mm-hmm. How many times, if they wouldn't have held, how many times would he have been hit? 12 times? So they were playing desperation mode. That goes to tell you. I mean, And Bruce Arians, even after the game, said that. He says, you can't have 100 yards and penalties and expect to win. He says, that's on me. I give him credit for taking that hit, but it wasn't Brady. Now, going forward, in terms of Brady's legacy, it's not going to affect his legacy. All the guys like Unitas and Namath and Joe Montana and Favre, all the guys that went to a secondary team in their career, their legacies weren't hurt, so that's not going to matter. But they got to get this offensive line together. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers, who is great as anybody, is playing better than ever. He's got the best offensive line in the league. Vince Lombardi said football is about blocking and tackling, and that they don't get the credit or the knocks that they should. But I think that's where the problem is. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part you're correct. That's why I didn't go harsh in the judgment. I think it's just like sort of a ha-ha Brady moment at the end. And there were a couple moments of frustration that were because of the poor blocking. I referenced if he's going to miss Belichick, it may be because of the mistakes, right? The Buccaneers, the most penalized team in the league. The Patriots, the least. Right now, the Buccaneers were the most penalized team in the league a year ago. He did take some shots in that game as well. And I agree with you on the legacy thing too, because when guys are at the later stage of their career, you once their career is over, you tend to throw that out. No one, let's put it this way, for all the LeBron Jordan talk, no one brings Michael Jordan's resume with the Wizards into the conversation, right? Like that's never part of it. I think that proves it more than anything else. However, in the moment, he did sort of put it on himself in a sense by leaving New England and going to Tampa. So if there are struggles in Tampa, I don't think it will be something that sticks with him, but it will be something that people go in the moment and have a little fun at Brady's expense, I guess, because they probably haven't had a chance to otherwise.
Well, one of the things that Aikman said prior to the game was this is the best defense they faced. So, you know, I said to myself, well, this is going to be interesting to see how the Bucs do with the top defense. And I think it showed itself. That's an issue. And Brady is always one of the things with him, and not a knock on him, but when he gets hit, he's not the same guy. And most of them are, you know.
When he faces, especially up that middle pressure, yep. I think this is the difference for him right now at 43 years old, and especially the way the league has gone. Like it's still incredible that he's as good as he is. Like, right, hats off to him. He's incredible. He's as good as he is. He still makes quick decisions. To me, that's his mobility. But his limiting thing at this moment, which was always a limiting thing, but was masked because the game was different, because he was in that Patriots system, all those reasons, but won't be masked in Tampa, is that he can't move.
Right.
And if that pressure comes up the middle, he doesn't have that backup plan.
Yeah, he got a little shell-shocked, and that's what happens. And that's where he lost his memory there in the end. But did you notice, I was thinking about it, there were a lot of times where he was calling guys over from the, you know, receiver position to stand next to him. He wanted a guard there, somewhat, because he could tell it was coming. You know what I'm talking about? He did that, I think, more than usual, calling guys over from receiver tight end position to stand by him and block, So I think he was running for his life, more or less. I mean, he doesn't run, but that's the way I look at it. But I think he's going to be fine. I think they're going to get this cleared up. The good thing about Brady is now they're getting under the microscope, that team, the whole year. So Arians has got a lot of work to do.
No doubt about it, and I appreciate the call, man. Thank you, Larry. Let's go next to John in Illinois. John, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, how you doing, buddy?
What's up?
Okay, listen. A previous caller said that LeBron James is the best superstar of all time. No, it's not true. I take Barkley, Kevin Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Reggie Miller better than LeBron James anytime.
Thank you. I appreciate the call and the laugh. I have not, some things you don't have to respond to. Reggie Miller. Mark in St. Louis. Mark, you're up next. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm laughing at – good morning, Robert. I'm laughing at that last call, but I do want to make a similar point. I want to make 3 points. Okay.
Who else is better than LeBron? Stacey Augmon?
Well, I'm not going to say that. No. Yeah. That was funny, though. I laughed at that. LeBron's cool. Listen, I saw the Dr. J era and those boys. I'm old enough to have seen that. I saw the Magic Johnson, Larry Bird era and those boys, and now the LeBron era and these boys. And I say bar none, MJ is the best. Michael is like a symphony, And LeBron and these boys are more like a rap song. Michael was just smooth, man. He was just poetry in motion. Well,
I prefer raps to symphony.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah, you tell me. You tell me right now. I can put on Beethoven 7th or whatever, or yeah. Or I can put on Hove. Yeah. You know, like yeah. Where am I going?
That's right. Okay, I see you there.
No, I'll give Beethoven credit. You know, I want to go back. You ever want to go back in time and see how some? Whenever Beethoven first hit him with that dun 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 dun, I want to see people's faces. Like they were like, oh, Beethoven's got one this time.
They're still teaching that. They're still playing that. Look, LeBron, he's a closer version of Magic Johnson than Michael Jordan because he's a little more clumsy. He's just, well, he's not clumsy. He's just not smooth. Michael was just smooth, man. He was just a joy to watch, and he changed the game. He was doing things that you hadn't seen before, and I saw Jay, and I appreciated what Jay brought and Magic and Larry. So that's the first point. The second point, I have never changed my schedule to see a LeBron game. And I would always change my schedule to watch Michael play because I knew I was going to see something that I may never have seen before. So, second point, not taking anything away from LeBron, he's just B. He's not A. I have one pair of LeBrons, one pair of Kobe's, and the rest of my shoes are Air Jordans, and Jordan still leads the shoe
I'll never argue. I happen to think it's LeBron. This argument is never going to stop.
I hear you.
I think they're 1A and 1B, right?
One more point. Yeah. Let me talk about last night. Jimmy Butler is showing the Clippers and the Rockets, those babies on those teams, what it means to have some dog in you. Because if you have some dog in you, you can stand up to the king and play some ball. I was so disappointed with the Clippers and the Rockets to a lesser extent. But my man Jimmy, man, he just has that dog in him. He's going to bring his game. He's not intimidated. Come on, LeBron, let's bring it, bro. Let's just see what we got. Let's do this. And if those other boys had some dog in them, like the Clippers, we might be watching them right now. So those are the points I wanted to make. And, man, I enjoy your show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I'm with you on Jimmy Butler. Look, if that was anybody else out there, I don't know if the Heat win that game. I mean, literally almost anybody else out there in the league. Maybe there's a couple guys. But the fact that he brings that mentality to that team, you know, like it's not just what he does in the game, and he was fantastic, but that mentality to the game. And that mentality that he brought, the confidence that he exuded, despite the odds that were against his team, were impressive. They had a trickle-down effect, and his will cannot be questioned. And I think, you know, that should be getting more of the credit today, the will that the Miami Heat showed, the fight that the Miami Heat showed, the game that Jimmy Butler played versus figuring out a way to criticize LeBron James, who was marvelous, and is not as good as B.J. Armstrong or, you know, Dan Majerle. Clearly better players. Yeah, Detlef Schrempf was better. Who else? Charles Oakley was better. You know, I got to say, I mean, Clyde Drexler was definitely better. I mean, I shouldn't have forgot about Clyde. Definitely better. Christian Laettner. I wonder if he was better. I mean, he was on the Dream Team, right? He was better. I mean, all in all, LeBron's probably top 150 players of all time. Something like that, somewhere in that range. 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Back to the NFL with Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus coming up next. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to get back into the NFL now with Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus lead analyst. And Sam, I want to start with Tom Brady because that's been the most recent topic of conversation, at least in-game related. And, you know, after game one of this season, I'm sure there was some premature takes and you know, I may have had one myself and I've wondered if Brady's been so good for so long that the game has evolved, you know, as he's played it to the point where, you know, that lack of mobility could really hurt him outside of the Patriots system a little bit. But he played pretty well after that game. And you know, there were other factors in the loss on Thursday night, bad penalties, offensive line play. And really that all got lost because he made the one error in apparently forgetting what down it was. How would you assess Brady's play thus far with Tampa?
I think thus far it's been really good. That was the worst PFF grade of the season so far, that Thursday night game against the Chicago Bears. We know the Bears have a legitimate defense as well, and I think the biggest issue was the pressure. You know, his grade was pretty good when he wasn't pressured. He was productive. He was throwing for 7 yards per attempt from a clean pocket. When he got pressured, that almost halved. Like, he just got cut down by the Chicago defense when they actually put some heat on him. So, yeah, I think overall it's been about as good as you could have expected. I don't know that anybody ever thought that he would get all the way back to, you know, MVP caliber Tom Brady. I don't know that that guy is there anymore. But I think most people who watched him play in New England last year put a huge amount of the struggles down to the lack of receiver help there. And ironically, he's kind of dealing with that this year as well in Tampa. It's not as bad, but everybody that we thought he was going to be throwing to has been hurt at some level of the season and to some degree. You know, Mike Evans is out there, but Mike Evans is far from 100% right now and doesn't look quite like himself. You know, he's lost O.J. Howard. He's lost Chris Godwin. Like, he's actually been way down in the depth chart in terms of guys we expected him to be throwing to, and he's still been playing better than Tom Brady of 2019.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Is that sort of where it is now? Like, he's a very good quarterback still, with the caveat being if there's pressure up the middle, he's going to struggle?
The way I've been describing it is I don't think he's capable of transcendent quarterback play anymore. So right now you've got Aaron Rodgers, you've got Russell Wilson, Mahomes, you know, those guys who are just playing at this absurd level that when they are on their game, there's nothing you can do. There's no defense that's stopping them. There's just no shot except to ride it out and hope you can match them on the other side of the ball. And then the next tier of guys is usually kind of led by the Matt Ryans of the world, you know, who can be a great quarterback and win an MVP if everything around him is great, but he's not a transcendent talent who's going to raise the level of everybody, who's going to be completely unplayable. This year, I could see Tom Brady being the guy that sort of leads that pack of the non-transcendent quarterbacks if he plays the way he did the first month.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's well put. Now, you talk about one of those transcendent quarterbacks. That's Patrick Mahomes. You know, I don't even think the Chiefs have played all that well this season outside of the Baltimore game, yet they've won 3 out of their 4 games by double digits. They're still undefeated. Where do you fall on the possibilities of this being, you know, the kind of team that could run the table this year?
Yeah, I actually agree with you, and that's why they're so terrifying. And even against the Patriots, is a great example for why they're so scary, because that was the worst game of Patrick Mahomes' career by PFF grades, and actually by a distance. It's the only game he's had that was graded below 50, I think. He's usually up at 80, 90. This was not a good game for him, and yet his passer rating was still okay, like because everything else functions. When you slow down Mahomes, you still give him the tap passes, and you still give what the rushing attack of that offense. Andy Reid is still dialing up crazy stuff to make them look like a genius. So it's so hard to slow down what they do, and the Patriots did as good a job as you can possibly do. They made Mahomes make some mistakes. They got turnovers. They caused problems, and it still didn't matter. Now, okay, they were without Cam Newton, so they didn't have a shot to match them on the other side. But the point is, you can have, like, the perfect game against Kansas City or against Kansas City's offense, and still they're going to be putting up 20-plus points, and that just gives them such a high baseline for any single game in terms of winning it. You need to do a good job yourself, otherwise you have no shot. And that's if you have the New England Patriots defense. You look at, like, this week, they're going up against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders basically know going into that game that if they don't score 30 points themselves, they have no shot, because there's no way they're keeping that Kansas City offense to under 30. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's always unlikely that a team runs the table. Somewhere along the line, there's a hiccup, there's a bad bounce of a ball, there's a turnover that shouldn't exist or whatever. Usually there's something that goes away that causes a game to bounce the other way. But because of everything I just talked about, the Chiefs team are actually in with a real shot of doing it.
Robin Lundberg talking to Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus here on CBS Sports Radio. What do you make of the decision in Washington? You know, I was never the biggest Dwayne Haskins guy, but at the same time, it feels a little premature to pull the plug there. This is a team that's obviously just not very good. What's your read on them making that decision and making it now?
I think we need to separate what he's done on the field and what he's doing off the field, because it sounds like the reports coming out of Washington say that the reason he's lost his job are practice habits or are, you know, off-field things in terms of just not working hard enough, not studying hard enough, not learning the offense as quickly or as well as he should. And those are things that we don't really get a glimpse into. You know, the guys in the building see that happening. They're the only ones that can judge that. All we can do is judge what we see on the field. And look, he hasn't been good this year. And the first three games in particular, I think, were pretty ugly. But he was coming off his best game against Baltimore. And to have your best game against Baltimore's defense is not easy. You know, Patrick Mahomes was able to carve up that defense, but regular human quarterbacks struggled. Everybody else had a problem against that defense. And Haskins actually didn't do a bad job against it. So to bench him coming out of that game makes no kind of football sense. To bench him the week before coming out of the Cleveland game would have made some sense. The other thing is, you know, you're benching him for Kyle Allen. It's not like you have a viable alternative that you need to see something from. Like, Washington's season at this point is all about discovering what you have in Dwayne Haskins, and then if you don't like what you have, finding a new quarterback. We know that Kyle Allen isn't that guy, and all you're doing is sacrificing more Dwayne Haskins' data points by benching him.
How about the situation in Houston with Bill O'Brien? Do you see any bounce back from that team? Is the situation, you know, resolvable there? What kind of spot has Deshaun Watson been put in?
We might see a, you know, 1 week bounce back, the sort of just the emotional lift that you get from making a change that was dragging everybody down, if that's what was happening, particularly against a team like Jacksonville, who are one of the easiest teams on their schedule. But Houston isn't good, and Houston doesn't have a great schedule the rest of the year. We've been focusing so hard on how rough their first four games were that nobody kind of looked beyond that. And look, it's not as bad as it was the first month, but it doesn't get easy. Like, this schedule is still going to be tough. So unless they figure out how to cover on the back end, unless they figure out how to block up front, unless they get on the same page with all those speedy receivers, like, this thing is not turning around in a heartbeat just because you got rid of one guy.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. Now, whoever's at fault for how it went down, it's probably there's a reason they're at where they are in the standings. Robin Lundberg talking to Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus, lead NFL analyst there here on CBS Sports Radio. One more for you, the Cleveland Browns. How real is what we've seen from them thus far?
This week is a great test for them. I don't know, to be honest, is the answer. We've seen them struggle hugely in week one against one of the better teams in the NFL. And then we've seen them win and look good against three successive, not great defenses and really bad defenses in at least one instance. So the offense looks great in those situations. You know, when you go up against the Dallas defense and the offensive line just bulldozes the defensive front to the ground and then passes over the top of the secondary that can't stop anybody, it looks fantastic. Now we're going to see what happens when they go up against an actual good defense. The Colts, you know, their numbers are spectacular. I think they're probably a little bit worse than that if you look at who they've played. But they're a good defense, and that's going to test what this offense of Cleveland looks like when they actually have a challenge and when they can't just destroy the line of scrimmage up front. You know, DeForest Buckner, Justin Houston, they're going to have problems there, and they're going to play aggressive coverage on the back end as well. So I think this is a great chance to actually see if they are for real.
Sam, appreciate your time, insight, and analysis as always.
Anytime. Take it easy, guys.
Miss any of the show? Catch up with the Robin Lundberg podcast, available all week on the weekend page at cbssportsradio.com.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You heard him. Make sure you catch up with the podcast, any of the parts of the show that you may have missed. I'll get to everything I haven't as of yet in just a second, but first let me get to a couple more of you. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, you're up next here on CBS Sports
Come on.
Radio.
Come on, Robin. That's going on okay. Considering you. First, with the college ball, I'm hoping Alabama can be upset. Mississippi State has a pretty good quarterback. And summary from the Pac-12, they go undefeated. I know it's a shortened season. They're only going to play seven. Oregon or USC. I think they should be, hopefully, getting in the, that playoff round. That should be more than four teams, because it is unfair for some teams, some conferences. Only four. Well, it's more than it's five major conferences, right?
Yeah.
And with the NFL, I think there's gonna be five quarterbacks picked in the next first round next quarterback draft, and you know, with Trevor and Fields being the first two picks, Washington, Jets, and Giants. Whether they realize that they're playing with backup quarterbacks at best, and will the Washington team get a quarterback for the future before they pick a name? I mean, hopefully.
Well, I don't think so. Unless they're going to delay that name picking. I mean, well, I guess they'll pick a guy in the draft this
How
year.
How hard is that?
The call. It's hard sometimes. Look, the Jets have been looking for a quarterback since man landed on the moon. The Browns have been looking at. What's the last good Browns quarterback?
Well, they finally got one. They're looking good. Baker. I mean, I didn't think Josh Rosen would be a bust. But Baker's finally, and Josh Allen, they have all the naysayers. He's proven them wrong. Him and Lamar.
Well, Josh Allen's really good. I mean, you know, he's really good. There's no doubt about that. I mean, with Baker Mayfield, it remains to be seen. Point is, there's a lot of franchises that struggle to find quarterbacks. It's why, you know, I advocated for the Cowboys to sign Dak Prescott this offseason, because it's not as easy as people make it out to be sometimes. Washington, I don't even hate the Washington football team as the name, by the way. But unless they nail their draft pick this year, they're going to have a new name before they have a quarterback. Now, this year, they'll probably use that draft pick on a quarterback. Let's go to James in Chicago. James, you're up next. What's going on, James?
Hey, Robin. As usual, I'm on the opposite side of some stuff with you. I'm mainly calling about some Jordan and LeBron stuff, but I do want to say, as far as the ratings for the sports, most notably the NBA and stuff, you know, like you said, it was pretty obvious what you were inferring, like who was trying to be behind it. And all I'll say to that is the left's cancel culture that they have, you know, that's okay. But if the right does something, you know, it's not okay. So I'm not a political guy. I'm just pointing that out.
Hold on a second. But what does that have to do with what I had to say? I was saying the NBA is singled out.
You were implying Trump and the right are trying to get viewers to that. You know, the NBA.
I'm not implying that has happened, right? Like people.
Ted Cruz was fighting
with Mark Cuban. I'll say their names. It's fine. I just figured everybody knew what I was talking about. Ted Cruz was fighting with Mark Cuban, right? The other day. These guys are saying this is the reason for the NBA falling ratings, but they're only singling out that league. Or are they saying that that's the reason that the Kentucky Derby ratings were down, or that the NHL Stanley Cup finals were down, or that the MLB playoffs were down, or that the U.S. Open was down? Or, you know, like, that's my point. My point is that there is something going on, which is obvious to us, right? The whole world, this thing is going on in front of us, because you know, we have it, we're experiencing it in real time, that is affecting everything, and it's disingenuous to make it act like it's the NBA, just the NBA. Well, that was my point.
And
by the way, cancel culture, I hate when people get make a big deal out of stuff that shouldn't be a big deal. I'm not a tribal person by nature. I'm just going to call it like it is and think for myself on situations and point out when I think people are being disingenuous with what they're trying to say.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Like I said, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I think they're all full of crap, honestly. So,
Veering. There's a lot I could say on that topic and where we are in this current state of affairs and how I don't think we should be falling into the patterns of the past. But I was talking specifically about the TV ratings and how only one league gets pointed to.
No, I got you. And I know you said something. I don't want to misquote you. I think it was, the NBA had 7 of the highest 20 non-NFL viewings or something.
Yeah, it did, which is more than it did a year ago last year. Just the numbers now, are down, but the placement is the same or up.
With that being said, though, there's a lot of, you know, network shows and other shows that didn't have their seasons because they got pushed back. So that plays into that as well. I don't think that was taken into consideration.
Well, network TV ratings are down like 50% too. Everything, like, that's my point. My point is, you can't take any of this data and use it. You throw it out and start with the data I think they need to redo the whole TV rating system, period, to account for the way people consume things now. But my point is, flush this data down the drain. And you can't say it's one thing when it's happening to everything.
No, I got you. I'm just saying those things, a lot of shows that are normally on aren't even on right now because they all got pushed back.
But this is compared to other sports. It's not compared to, you know. I mean, even
specifically when you said it was the non-NFL ratings. That meant basketball and shows.
Well, yeah, but college football, it means anything else. The non-NFL, any sporting event.
Right. Well, at least the NBA is on. That's why they got 7 of the 20.
Well, but is baseball,
baseball's on as well, but there's shows that never film their season, so they're not on. So,
but there's still things on TV. They're not running blank programming.
Okay, I mean, you can only watch reruns of shows so many times. But
it just feels like you're finding out ways to discredit all the numbers.
I really just called to talk about LeBron and Jordan.
All right, go ahead.
I didn't think it was going to turn into that much. So. As far as championship wins, you can't really dispute, the 6-3. But if you take their losses in the playoffs and stuff like that into consideration or just their careers as a whole, you got 03 and 04, LeBron didn't even make the playoffs. 05, they lost to the Pistons, who ended up losing to the Heat, who ended up winning the title. In 06, he lost to the Spurs in the finals. In 07, he lost to the Celtics, who ended up being the champions. In 08, he lost to the Magic, who ended up losing to the Lakers, who were the champions. In 09, they lost to the Celtics, who again lost to the Lakers in the finals. In 2010, he probably had his worst series of all against the Mavericks and lost
to the
finals.
No, 2011 was the Mavericks. You're off by years. The Mavericks is 2000. Look, the one loss, and I'm running out of time. I got to get to another one. The one loss that is a true blemish is 2011. I always concede that. I think he became a better player because of it, but I always concede that. Blaming him for 2007 is ridiculous. Blaming him for that Cavs team in general is ridiculous. Blaming him for 2018 when he dragged the Cavs to the finals is ridiculous. Blaming him for 2015 when he had Love and Irving hurt is ridiculous. Blaming him for losing to the Warriors when they added Kevin Durant is ridiculous. All those things are ridiculous. Jordan lost in the first round 3 times. LeBron's never lost in the first round. Jordan lost to the Pistons 3 out of 4 times. Jordan is great. One of the great all-time winners. 6-0 in the finals. True. No one brings up that he lost to the Magic when he came back because, he had to get reacclimated. But if that was LeBron, it would be excuses. If LeBron came back and played for the Wizards, he'd be criticized for it. So that's the point. People don't view it the same way, but I'm not going to. Again, I'm not going to fall into criticizing Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's amazing. Amazing. All right, time to get to everything I haven't yet. Time for another one.
It's time for another edition of Another One on the Robin Lundberg Show. The rumors, reports, and ridiculous from the week that was. Here's Robin Lundberg.
All right, Anthony, what's up first?
All right, so looking ahead to 2021, Steve Kerr was asked this week whether he would run an ISO-heavy offense, and Kerr replied with, I think I would resign first. We've got to be ourselves, and what makes Steph and Clay the players they are is the combination of what they can do on and off the ball. That's what moves defense. So is Kerr smart, and are the Warriors smart to stick to their roots and continue to play in up-tempo style, rotating the ball around?
Well, yeah, no, I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, I don't know if he needed it. He sort of took a pot shot at Houston because he's talking about like teams that have one guy run the pick and roll over and over and over again. He was referring to James Harden and the way that Houston plays. But look, how can you criticize the way Golden State and Steve Kerr have played? I think people really wanted is when Durant left for them to just run high screen and roll to kind of just see what Steph Curry could do in that sort of offense. But Steph and Clay, before KD even got there, were the leaders on a 73-win team, along with Draymond. They won a championship. Then they got KD, and they were a mutant super team. But what their formula has been proven, and it works, so I have no problem with Steve Kerr going back to that. What's next?
Another one.
Dabo Swinney was asked this week about his interest in the Texans head coaching job and the possibility of reuniting with Deshaun Watson. Sweeney replied, I have not heard from Deshaun, and that is not even anything that I want to even have to think about. Do you think Dabo would make a good NFL head coach?
No, I don't. I think some of the things he said in the public, some of that motivational tactic stuff, wouldn't really work. as well with pro players. And I think it works well with building like a community at the college level and with recruiting and in that position that a college coach is in relative to a professional coach. So, no, I wouldn't foresee success for Dabo Swinney in the NFL, and I don't think it'd be a good move for him considering he's basically, you know, a godlike figure at Clemson at this point and could just be there the remainder of his career. What's next?
Another one.
Kristaps Porzingis, he has to have he had knee surgery to repair the lateral meniscus tear in his right knee. Is it safe to label Porzingis as injury prone?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like calling guys. It's almost unfair. It's not your fault. But that was always the biggest concern with Porzingis was injuries. You know, he's freakishly tall, and he's had a few of them now in his career, and that's the worry you have. At the same time, the talent is prodigious, and I think it's a risk you take if you're the Dallas Mavericks, and that's why they took it. You hope that, you know, some of these corrective surgeries get him right. You know, he can work with the right physical people and that his career isn't cut short as a result, or hampered as a result. What's next?
Another one.
And finally, another week, more Spider-Man news. Doctor Strange, he will be in Spider-Man 3. Do you think this will lead to the return of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield?
I think it's more likely Andrew Garfield, especially with the news that Jamie Foxx might reprise his role as Electro. So, yeah, I do think they'll do some of that. And maybe there's also the possibility of a Miles Morales in live action at this point. That would be a good entryway to that. But yeah, it was interesting to see Doctor Strange cast in Spider-Man, or in Spider-Man, because it means they're definitely bringing the multiverse to the forefront in the Marvel universe. In this universe, you can grab the podcast. Catch me next week, 6 to 10 Eastern, here on CBS Sports Radio. It's been the Robin Lundberg Show. Ken Carman up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.